Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday broadcast, and we are pleased and proud to have you. It is a good day to be alive and a good day to know the Lord's working in you, the body of Christ. So we are on the subject of prayer. We started yesterday with the statement, prayers never die. Now, in that, we're referring to the scriptures that talk about God having having bowls or vials of prayer like incense poured out before him. And the aroma being the prayers, the word, the declarations, and so forth come up before him. So we're going to continue on with that. I want to thank you for subscribing if you haven't done it yet, and also for liking on Facebook. Some of the comments are important, and also they're important that it helps us have a little more punch on this mysterious internet business. So thank you for that. I appreciate your partnershiping with me in all the ways of prayer and support. It helps us continue to press forward in what we believe God has given us a quest and a call to do at this time. As you know, most of you know, I pastored for nearly 30 years in the last church. Now I minister in churches as God opens, and I go into a number of churches regularly as a elder voice. I waited a long time to be that person, be my father, but it's a wonderful thing to God's given me the privilege. But a number of years ago, God prompted me to begin these daily broadcasts in the morning with a word from the Holy Spirit, an inspiration, and an encouragement to press in to the call God's given you. So that's what these morning broadcasts are all about. So let's just jump into the subject of prayer. Now, our text scripture is in 1 Timothy 2 and 1. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. So we're just going to give some sections of prayer and some levels and types of prayer. That's the word I wanted to use. But before we do, I need to deal with this entryway, this entrance into the presence of the Lord. We need to be in something. And of course, the Bible says that we are in Christ. So this is what God has called us into, to be consumed with and merged and mixed and blended and united and married with God. So we are in the kingdom, in the presence of the Lord all the time. But when we come into prayer, we enter into something special. So this thought here says that we're to have several types of prayer. We have petition prayers, and we have intercession prayers, and then we have prayers. And in that last section, I'll deal with that a little later, another few days. There's two sections of prayer, and I want to talk about each of them. So, but this first one, to get into the presence of the Lord. Well, Psalms 100 and the fourth verse. 100 and the fourth verse. Let me read it for you out of the Amplified. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So the first gate we come to, the first entrance in, is with a thankful heart. I would say in my survey of life, including myself at times, I'm sure, that a lot of prayer is begging, oh God, help. Oh God, if you've ever helped before, now is the time to help. And I'll never do it again if you be sure and help me today. It's called foxhole prayers. And I know some of those foxhole prayers work. I've met men that have been in the battle, and they promised God they would preach the word, preach the gospel, if they'd get them home alive. Well, good. But prayer is not built on begging God for mercy or help or rescue. But it has some steps to it, and they are very clear and definite. But the first one is, let's get into the throne room. Now, to see a snapshot of that, we go back to the tabernacle in the wilderness, don't we? Now, remember, as we've taught about it and as we've referred to it, the tabernacle wilderness is a miniature picture of the throne room in the tabernacle in heaven. And in that, there's an entryway. Now, of course, they came into the first entryway where the priest would sacrifice the animals that they brought. But then the priest took that into the next chambers. And it's in that chamber that you and I are now in because of Jesus Christ. Now, that next chamber, the tent, inside of the veiled or the fenced outer court, inside was the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, in the holy place, they had the table of showbread, and they had the candlesticks first, the candlesticks, table of showbread, altar of incense. And then they went into that next chamber, which was where the Shekinah glory was, and the ark and so forth. But the snapshot in Psalms 104 is the king's throne, which we refer to God on the throne. We refer to God on his throne of rulership. And so we see in our minds often when we're praying, we see that typical or classical picture of the mid-centuries Mideast king on his throne. Well, it may be that way, but that's the way we see it. And so when we enter in this verse, it says, enter into his gate. So there was an outer gate that kept the riffraff out. You couldn't just drop by and camp out in the court. You had to have permission to come in. And that first gate that gets us into the chamber of his presence is thanksgiving. An unthankful heart really will get you in trouble. Mumbling, criticizing, crabbing, talking about it, making up stories about how bad it is, because it's usually not really that bad. It's called the water cooler conversation. You just do everything you can to get a job. Make out the application. You kind of smooth the interviewer so they'll let you have a job. And then a few weeks into it, you're around the water cooler talking about how bad the situation is and how mean the boss is. Why? Well, you've picked up the spirit of the place, obviously. And then you start complaining. Well, you don't get anywhere that way. You're not promoted that way. You don't have favor that way. And you wonder why old so-and-so that's being promoted, you probably haven't seen him around or her around the water cooler. She's doing her job and being faithful and loyal and encouraging to the management. Well, here we are. We want something. We want to be part of God's ongoing kingdom, the whole thing we know to be God's life, God's world. You don't do it complaining. One of the things that I've always noticed about the children of Israel when they were going to march around Jericho, he made them shut up and be quiet because he knew the character of those people, leaned toward criticism and complaining. They had a long history of it. Their fathers and mothers had a long history of it. That's why they didn't get to go into Canaan land. They were always crabbing about leadership. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Well, this new generation had some of that in it. So Joshua, when they were marching around Jericho, says, just zip it. And how about Zacharias, John the Baptist's father? You know, he doubted, how could this be? You know, we've been praying for 40 years and we're old now. We're too old to have babies. And you see I'm having a baby? No. He says, okay, because you doubt, I'm zipping your lip. Now, why did he do that? I'll bring that out again as we get into that section of teaching. But why did he do that? Because the prayers he prayed never die. And they were still working, petitioning the Lord. But if he opens his mouth anymore and starts crabbing and complaining and being unthankful, it's going to start nullifying and killing the power of faith that he prayed in. So when you pray by faith, then keep it shut if you can't say anything good. Amen. What's the old adage? If you can't say anything good about someone, don't say anything at all. I believe it. There are times in our marriage for 53 years. There are times that I have kept it quiet. I know she has. Of course, she's never had anything to complain about. I'm, married to a perfect guy. But I tell you what, we learned a long time ago. Well, we were in the 70s, early 70s, when we were first married. We were married in 68. The church began to have a revelation of words and confession. We didn't know that. Nobody taught us that. I mean, we weren't supposed to cuss and say, bad words that the world used. But we could gripe and complain and moan and say all kinds of negative stuff. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. And we begin to hear the teaching on saying confession, which was what God said about stuff. Well, we learn not to say, I hate you, I wish I'd never married, and on and on and on, all the hurtful things. And it really was a lifesaver to our marriage, I'm sure, because we didn't put those wounds and those bruises in. So if you can't say anything good, keep it shut. But thanksgiving opens the door for blessings beyond your imagination. If you're thankful, then you are attracting the thing you're thankful for in a greater measure. I thank you, Lord, for this food. I thank you, Lord, for health. I thank you, Lord, for a pastor who is a loving person and teaching me the word. I thank you for my children who are a benefit to us and a help and loving God with all their heart. Things that you can confess to be thankful. And if you've never been out of your comfort zone into another nation of the world, then you need to be thankful for hot water. You need to be thankful for electricity. You need to be thankful for a car that can get you to the store and back. And when you get there, there's food on the shelf. You say, well, that's just normal. No, it's not. We live in a nation to be thankful for. So today I encourage you, as we enter into this discussion and this teaching this week on prayer, I believe we started, before we get into intercession and petitions, I believe we started with a thankful heart. And I encourage you to generate and cultivate and feed the habit of being thankful. Thank one another. Be appreciative. Say I thank you to people that help you out and serve you. Be sure and give good tips when you go out to eat and tell people how much you appreciate them. And someone opens the door for you sometimes. That's happening to me more often now. I see this old guy coming. They want to help him out. And I say, thank you. I'm grateful that you've been kind to me. Amen. So I encourage you today in that. Glory to God. Father, thank you for this good time together. I launch these that are listening into a wonderful day. We're thankful for air and breath. We're thankful for strength and money and friends and a puppy dog and all those things, Lord, we're thankful for today. I bless all these together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll see you in the morning, same time. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe, hit the bell next to it, and on Facebook, like us, give us a thumbs up, and send us a comment. Until tomorrow morning at this same time, we will be loving you and praying for you in Jesus' name.